Brian, you have such a wonderful range of activities. Polymath springs to mind, Renaissance man, the whole range of descriptions of that point of view. You're currently working on a book relating to free expression.
Yes, it's called A Right to Offend.
Right. Makes perfect sense from that point of view. So yes. Share with us, tease ahead, what can the reader expect?
Well, it's a quote-unquote scholarly book. Oh. That means it's got footnotes, essentially. and it's an argument about the fact that, on the one hand, obviously people can say and pretty much what they want, many would think that we're living in a time of extreme liberalism, especially when it comes to certain sorts of activities, and you can depict things that you couldn't previously. So what's the problem? Well, the problem is that we've got all this new paraphernalia that allows us ranges of expression for everybody. David's responsible for them, basically, i.e. computing and so on and so
it's
forth.
Not passing the buck, and, David, is it?
and also, we've never really established a right of free expression for all media. We have free expression ourselves, face-to-face, within the limits of the law. Nobody's suggesting there shouldn't be limits, right? That's a straw man to say, oh, you've got to have limits. Yes, we're all agreed we've got to have limits. But you know, essentially, it's only the press that actually got really well-established free expression, a free press. And the stage, for instance, was being licensed. You know, you had to go to the Lord Chamberlain to get permission to put a play on until 1968, right? And when broadcasting started, indeed when films as well, but when broadcasting started, forget about it. Mm. This technology we're using now is actually, it was a military technology originally, as many technologies are, and of course it was controlled, and indeed, you know, the radio is normally... It's normally said that it starts in 1895. It starts with the Imperial fleet manoeuvres of the Russian and British navies in that year, significantly, because these dreadnoughts needed the communication system. So that obviously, by 1903, the governments had agreed how radio should be operated. People would be given wave bands to use and not others, so you could make the system work. Well, in that situation, you can forget free expression in that sense. So we don't have a general right of free expression. And also, I think people are confused about it. They, you know, at one level, they will say, yes, this is a terribly good idea. And then they say, well, maybe, you know, privacy, that's a bit of a problem. And, you know, I don't like all these dirty words appearing everywhere, and I don't like this. And
thankfully,
you know,
we don't have potty mouths on Siren.
Exactly,
for obvious
reasons.
So all
of it. So you know. So people are somewhat, you know, schizophrenic about it. And I think ultimately there's a danger, which we have to pay attention to. So that's what the book's about. It's actually outlining the history of where we've got to, and what the arguments are both ways about controlling expression. And my own position is that it's under some threat. Actually,
these things tend to be cyclical, though, don't they? I mean, in all sorts of ways, we have the notion. I mean, there was the old line, which again I appreciate, is often held up as such things, that you got so much creativity at the height of the Stalinist oppression in Russia. It was wonderful. You need a bit of tension to really get the creatives developing their material.
I'm not sure about that. I mean, I think that I don't, you know, the book is actually based on the Salman Rushdie. It starts with the Salman Rushdie affairs, because it seems to me that the fatwa and the attacks on Rushdie and all of that, and communities getting offended, is really a problem, right? I mean, I think there's no question that you shouldn't harm people by what you say. But there's a difference between harming somebody, where you can actually measure in some way or another what the harm is, and simply having somebody say, you can't say that, it upsets me. Well, I'm afraid that's life. You know, life, you know, children have to learn, you know, they can't always have their own way, and they get upset. Now, there's a difficulty. It's a very, very complicated issue. But basically, the principle that we established a couple of centuries ago in the West, and essentially in this country, that you should primarily be allowed to say anything, and we'll worry about the consequences after. That's the way to go. And to do it the other way round, by making arguments, and to say, oh, Stalin is good for writers, I don't think that's
I was playing devil's advocate there.
Well, so you should be, given your heritage.
Well, the mixture of the Polish and the Irish, it's most peculiar. Censorship and blasphemy. Oh, I could talk. David, thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, I guess, would it be fair to say over the years, the movement has been away from individual pieces of work, for example, and concern about plays, books, and now it's more throw the switch to turn off the social networking as the way of closing down debate and discussion.
Well, I think that there are technical issues of that kind, and you're absolutely right. I mean, I think one of the problems we've got is that, you know, things now exist forever, as it were, because they go into cyberspace and there they are. So that's a particular issue. But what I'm saying is, we can get easily confused by all of these various factors, you know, from some of which, of course, are terrific. I mean, it's wonderful. We're now very sensitive to these things, you know, but I'm worried about that coming back to bite us. My favourite book in my research so far on the book I'm writing has a wonderful, sexy title, Alex. It's called The Growth of Sensitivity in the Long 18th Century. And it's all about ladies writing popular bestsellers, the story of a mouse told from the point of view of a mouse, and what a terrible time the mouse has. So we've gotten, you know, we worry about cruelty to animals. We're even sensitive to military deaths, which is wonderful, right, that we should be. But, I mean, the notion that, you know, it's a terrible thing if a soldier gets killed, I mean, that would have be meaningless to most of our ancestors.
We're sensitive to academics,
right?
Next.
But you know, exactly. So the point is that we become more and more sensitive. But then there is perhaps a price to be paid in terms of a fundamental right. And of course, there's been an attack on the whole idea of rights. People say, oh, there shouldn't be rights without entitlements. Well, rights are rights, you know, entitlements are something different. And so I think we're in a state of some confusion and perplexity, made worse, if you will, by the technology.
Something we'll be talking about with respect to rights, particularly with respect to data, with Susan Singleton in the second part of the programme. Aaron Craig, our head chef, should be coming up shortly. Meanwhile, here's Lorna Reed.